Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries which are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And in this hour, once again, we're going to throw the lines open because this hour is your hour. That's right, you can call 612-564-8135. You'll hear a recording, leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and then perhaps you can ask your question on national radio. That's right. Why should we scientists have all the fun? Why don't you jump right in and join us? You know, sometimes people tell me that they're just shooting the breeze with their friends at the water cooler, and someone just pops up and asks some dumb question that leaves everyone stumped. I have a friend of mine. He works for Con Edison. That's the utility here in New York City. And the engineers were sitting around the water cooler one day, and someone asked a simple question, a dumb question. What happens if the sun were to disappear right now? Right now, the sun were to vanish, what would happen? Well, everyone was stumped. Everyone began to scratch their heads. Yeah, what would happen? I mean, how long would it take before the Earth got flung into outer space if the sun were to simply disappear right now? Well, no one knew the answer, but someone said, hey, let's ask Dr. Kaku. He's a physicist. He may know the answer. Well, the short answer is that we physicists are not sure about the answer because we've never done that experiment, but we think it is 8 minutes. In 8 minutes, the Earth would be flung into outer space because gravity travels at the speed of light. How do we know this? Well, just last year, three physicists won the Nobel Prize in Physics for detecting a gravity wave in space. A black hole collided with another black hole about 1 billion years ago. 1 billion years later, the shock wave hit the Earth, detected by laser beams on the Earth, and that's how we figured out that the speed of gravity is the speed of light. Once again, Einstein got it right. So once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135, or go to my website and you can ask a question there. mkaku.org is the website. You can go to my Facebook site at Michio Kaku. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, 600,000 fans on Twitter. So find out what all the excitement is about. Because in this hour, we're going to answer your email questions. That's right. We're going to answer the email questions that you sent to me, including crop circles. Are they really true? And what are some of my favorite movies like Terminator, Interstellar, 2001? What are some of my favorite science fiction movies? And what about Elon Musk and the Silicon Valley billionaires that are dominating the space program? Is that a good thing? I mean, they're businessmen, for God's sake. They're not scientists. Is it a good thing or a bad thing if billionaires are showing us the way, funding the space program? And then DNA technology. Has it been overblown? I mean, after all, when the Genome Project was finished years ago, people said, we're going to have cures for diseases. Well, I don't see them. What happened? Has the DNA Genome Project hype been overblown? Where are the cures that were promised to us years ago? So these are some of the questions that we'll be answering today on Science Fantastic. Well, one question that I get is about crop circles. They see television programs on crop circles, and by golly, they really look pretty neat. I mean, these formations inside farmers' crops, they look like some alien spaceship landed right there on their crops and created a crop circle. And they're so elaborate. Maybe it was the mind of an alien which created these crop circles. Well, what is my opinion? My opinion is that, well, I have to keep an open mind. You can't rule it out. Yes, in the past, perhaps rocket ships from outer space did land on the Earth, and maybe they left a footprint. In fact, it was Carl Sagan himself, the astronomer, who speculated that, yes, in our ancient past, if we were visited by aliens from outer space, then we would consider them to be gods. Even if they have simple technology like rocket ships and the internet, which we already have today, people during the Middle Ages would consider them to be superhuman and celestial. So what about crop circles? Well, yeah, you can't rule it out. Perhaps they are evidence of visitation. I keep an open mind to the question. But I also realize that there's another way to look at them. First of all, if you watch these documentaries about crop circles, you realize that they become more sophisticated every year. The very first crop circles that occurred in England were very primitive. In fact, rather laughable. But as the years went by, they became more and more intricate, more and more elaborate, and they got more and more publicity. Well, if they really were the footprint of a rocket ship that landed from outer space, then they should be the same. They shouldn't be getting more sophisticated every year. There's no learning curve. There's learning curve for spaceships coming in from outer space, landing on England every year. However, there is learning curve for hoaxers. And in some of these shows, they actually show you how teenagers can create their own crop circles. I've seen several programs that interview these teenagers. What they do is they first put a stake in the ground. Then they get a piece of rope stuck to this stake in the ground, and then they move in a circular direction, flattening out corn or different kinds of alfalfa or whatever they're working with. And as they walk in a circle, they begin to create a circular pattern. Then they also showed how to become more sophisticated, how to do the very intricate patterns that you see in crop circles. So these are hoaxers. Now, does that mean that all crop circles are hoaxes? Not necessarily, but it does mean that a certain fraction of them, especially the ones that are more sophisticated, are in fact done by hoaxers who took advantage of all the publicity that crop circles have generated. So does that mean that crop circles are all fake? No. It simply means that some of them are. But does that mean that they're evidence of visitations from outer space? Well, maybe and maybe not. First of all, there's a program called Ancient Aliens on TV. In fact, I've actually been on a few of those programs myself, talking about the science behind what a visitation may look like. But are the alien visitations really proven by all this? Well, the answer is no. I once had a chance to talk to the person who wrote the book, Chariot of the Gods. I had a chance to sit down with him once and have eat lunch with him. And he admitted to me that, well, he has no proof that this is evidence of a chariot of the gods or ancient visitation. He simply says this is a possibility. And I admire that. The fact that he on air will say flatly that this does not prove that aliens have visited us in the past, it simply means it is a possibility. Well, let's take a short commercial break, and after the break, we're going to continue the discussion of the movies. What is your favorite science fiction movie, and what does it say about science? Once again, this is Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, I'm going to answer so many of the emails that you send me. It's impossible to answer all of them. And many of you are too shy to have your voice heard on national radio, so you don't leave a message on my number. However, you do email me, and I'd like to answer some of these questions that I get on emails. One series of questions that I get on emails is alien visitations of the past. There are TV programs talking about them. In fact, I should be honest and say that I've been on several of the programs myself. But let me say the following. There are at least two ways you can look at this whole question of alien abductions. First is, maybe they're real. You cannot rule that out. I mean, after all, it was Carl Sagan himself who wrote in one of his earlier books. He said that if an alien civilization landed on the Earth years ago, centuries ago, before the coming of modern science, we would consider them to be gods. And if we were to reproduce them in our artwork, it would be celestial. It would look fantastic. And in the future, maybe modern civilization would look back and realize that this is evidence of alien visitation. That's one way to look at it, and you cannot rule that out. However, there is another way to look at it. And that is that maybe some of these pictures that we see are ceremonial. That is, they're representational rather than realistic. For example, in many of the shows, you see priests, high priests of these ancient civilization, wearing headdresses, elaborate headdresses, sitting in a throne. And by golly, that headdress really does look like a spacesuit. It really does look like a helmet. And that throne room that these people are sitting in, if you blink a bit, it does look like a rocket ship. It does look like he's sailing throughout the heavens in a rocket ship of some form. So, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. On one hand, it could be simply ceremonial. That is, simply the high priest putting on an elaborate headdress, sitting in an elaborate throne room, or maybe it's an alien from outer space with a space helmet and sitting in a chair inside a rocket ship. You can't rule it out. However, we have to realize that there's an alternate explanation, that it simply could be the imagination of the artist. And then what about those markings? Those markings in the soil. With a helicopter or an airplane, you can look down on the earth and you can see, my golly, it does look like an landing field of some sort. Maybe this ancient civilization created a spaceport that allowed aliens from outer space to land. Well, once again, you can't rule it out. However, as a friend of mine pointed out to me, if that really was a spaceport, there would be evidence of it in the form of junk. That is, think of an airport we have on the planet Earth. You see all sorts of junk. You see waste. You see wire clippings. You see the waste of machine parts. You see garbage. However, at these sites where we see these markings inside the soil, we don't see that. We don't see garbage. We don't see pliers and screwdrivers and gears that were worn out but left over by ancient civilizations. No, these sites look pretty pristine. And from a helicopter, it looks not just like a spaceport, but it looks like a signaling device whereby these earthlings are trying to signal to celestial beings in the cloud. So again, there are two ways you can look at it. A, maybe it's a spaceport. B, maybe it's just the way of ancient civilizations to try desperately to communicate with people living in the clouds. That is, the gods. So again, scientists have to be open to all sorts of crazy ideas, even if they could be totally wrong. However, they should also have to have an alternate explanation as well. And so, since science deals with things that are reproducible, testable, and falsifiable, unfortunately, this debate could go on forever. Because how do you know for sure whether this drawing is a drawing of an alien or just a drawing of a high priest wearing ceremonial costumes? It's undecidable. It's untestable. It's unprovable. And that's why, in some sense, it is outside the boundaries of science. Until we get that alien screwdriver, until we get that alien piece of wiring left over, because this was, in fact, a spaceport, until we get tangible evidence, it's just that. Perhaps, perhaps not. It is undecidable until we have proof. That's why I say to people that have claimed to have been abducted by aliens from outer space, well, yes, maybe you were abducted. Maybe it's true. But the next time you're abducted, for God's sake, steal something. I don't care if it's an alien hammer, alien wire, alien chip. Steal something. There's nothing in the books, nothing in the law books that says that stealing from an alien from outer space is illegal. And for that matter, you'll have bragging rights. You'll be able to go to the TV cameras and say, look, alien chip technology. That's the end of the story. End of the story. No ifs, ands, or buts. Once you have an alien chip, that'll settle the question forever. But if you simply see a light in the sky, what does that mean? It can mean almost anything. Also, let me continue our discussion of the movies. First of all, I'm a movie junkie. I've seen most of the science fiction movies. I have a definite opinion about all of them, and I'd like to share some of my observations with you. First of all, the movie 2001. That's a great movie. It's a movie that really busted open Hollywood for high-level science fiction movies. I remember the world before 2001. It was all B-grade, bug-eyed monsters, the movies that you laugh at. I remember Fire Maidens from Outer Space starring Zsa Gabor. Those were the movies of the 1950s. Cheap movies for the drive-in theater. And they dominated science fiction, giving science fiction a bad name. Unless, of course, you like Zsa Gabor. Then the movie 2001 came out. That was the watershed. That was a top-of-the-line Hollywood movie showing what you could do with science fiction. Not only that, the movie made you think. There are so many scientific themes in that movie if you stop and think about it. First of all, how did the apes become intelligent in that movie? Well, yeah, evolution, but maybe it was intervention. Maybe aliens from outer space have been watching us over millennia, altering our evolution. Perhaps that's the way we became intelligent. And if that's true, maybe they're watching us even today. Think about that for a moment. And if you think about the movie really is perhaps the most realistic encounter with an extraterrestrial civilization. The most realistic encounter. Because you see, an alien civilization is not going to send Captain Kirk bouncing from planet to planet in the Enterprise. There are too many planets. It's a waste of time. What they're going to do is send a self-replicating robot probe that lands on a moon, because moons are stable, creates copies of themselves, thousands of copies of themselves, that shoot out and colonize the next set of moons. Then you get like a virus. A virus can colonize your body in 2 weeks. Think about that. A molecule can colonize your body until you start to sneeze and cough in 2 weeks. Because it's self-replicating, giving you an exponential explosion in the number of viruses. That's how to colonize the galaxy. And that's what we find in 2001. You find the probe landed on the moon. Scientists analyze this probe and trigger it, and then it emits a horrible screeching sound as it then sends a signal to the home planet, Jupiter, which is a relay station. A relay station to send a message to the stars that tell them that humans have arrived. So in some sense, the movie 2001 is the most realistic encounter with an extraterrestrial civilization. Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Leaders of many countries are concerned about the new COVID variant from South Africa. It's called Omicron. Experts are still learning about it, like Dr. Susan Hopkins, Chief Medical Advisor at the UK Health Security Agency.
This situation is rapidly evolving and changing. We didn't know this variant existed less than a week ago.
South African epidemiologist Dr. Richard Lussels.
That's what concerns us, that those people that have recently been infected with the Delta variant and have some immunity that immunity may not protect them as well against this new variant.
Dr. Shi Za, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health.
We're going to have some preliminary data on how well our vaccines are holding up by early to mid next week.
Concerns about the variant have led to the U.S., Canada, and the EU to ban travel from South Africa. This is USA Radio News. One rescuer at a coal mining accident has been found. USA Radio's Lance Pry reports on an area in Siberia.
A methane gas leak and explosion at a Siberian coal mine in Russia Thursday killed over 50 souls, including six rescuers. Russia's worst mining disaster in more than a decade occurred at the Kemerovo region in central Russia. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
After months of heat waves and drought, weather in the Pacific Northwest has flipped to flooding rain and gusty storms. Forecasters say stormy conditions in the northwestern U.S. is expected to continue with not one but two storms heading for the region. Forecasters say northwestern Washington in particular could be the hardest hit area in the U.S. The heaviest rain is forecast to fall on the Olympic Peninsula and southern Vancouver Island on Monday. The good news, much of the West will have above-average temperatures over the weekend. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In this hour, we're answering your questions that you sent me on email. Once again, you can always contact me at my website, mkaku.org. It lists the 4 New York Times bestsellers that I've written. Plus, it talks about my tour schedule. Perhaps I'll be speaking in a city next to you, talking about my latest bestseller, and that is The Future of Humanity. The Future of Humanity in Outer Space. One day, we will reach the stars. Personally, I think that's where our destiny is, to be able to reach for the stars. But find out how we're going to do it by getting my latest book, The Future of Humanity. On Facebook, we have 3 million fans. On Twitter, we have about 600,000 fans on Twitter. So why don't you find out what all the excitement is about? Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. Well, before the break, we were talking about the movies. One question that I get is, what is my favorite movie in science fiction and why? And what are some of the awful movies in science fiction? Well, as I pointed out, one of the worst movies ever made was a science fiction movie. Is Fire Maidens from Outer Space. As I recall, it starred Zsa Gabor. Fire Maidens from Outer Space, a movie made for the teenage market, but not much more than that. But there are some great movies out there that really make you think. First of all, there's the movie 2001, which really makes you think. Did alien civilization affect human evolution? Is that the reason why we became intelligent? Is because somebody interfered with our evolution? You can't rule it out, because this would have happened millions of years ago. And then, are they still out there, observing us, waiting for us to become intelligent? Well, that's the theme of the movie 2001. Because the aliens put a obelisk on the Earth, which is a sensor, a self-replicating robot, waiting for us to become intelligent, so that it can signal to the mother star that we have arrived. It really makes you think, have aliens affected our evolution in the past? And if so, are they still observing us, waiting for us to become intelligent? Well, it really makes you think about that, right? And what kind of civilization is this? This civilization is way beyond our solar system, way beyond the planet Jupiter, which to them is nothing but a relay station. It's a type 2 or a type 3 civilization. They are galactic, most likely. And that's the best way to explore the galaxy, with self-replicating robots. What is a simple self-replicating robot? A virus. A virus starts off as one molecule, hijacks a cell, and the cell becomes a factory for hundreds of other viruses, which then go out and colonize the next generation. That's the theme of the movie 2001. An obelisk lands on the moon, creates a copy of itself, shoots out, and begins to colonize other moons, which are stable, ecologically speaking. They are waiting for us to become type 1, that is, planetary and peaceful. And when we do, we will join the family of star-faring civilizations. So that movie 2001 was pretty advanced and asked many philosophical questions. Okay, let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue the discussion of science on Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to get on the air and ask a question about science, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Or if you're too shy, send me an email and I'll answer your email questions on air. The email address is mkaku.org, mkaku.org. Well, one question that I often get is about the movies. Which movies do I like and why? Well, one movie that I like is the Terminator series starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. And some people say, well, isn't that just a shoot-em-up movie with no scientific content? Well, yeah, but there really is a philosophical question that is raised. You know, the very first mention of the word robot, which then worked its way into our vocabulary, it was based on a play. A play, I think, in Romania or Czechoslovakia. And that's where the word robot was coined, because robot means worker. And in that play, we create a race of humanoid robots that look just like us. But we mistreat them in that play. And at the end of the play, the robots rise up. They rise up against humanity and actually destroy humanity. The robots actually take over at that point. And then the other question is, well, how realistic is that? And how would it happen? Well, in the movie Terminator, they actually give you a rather realistic way in which the machines may take over. In the future, we create a super robot on the internet called Skynet. Skynet is so advanced that it controls our nuclear weapons. Is that possible? Sure, it's definitely possible. But one day, Skynet is so advanced, it becomes self-aware. That is, it realizes that it is conscious. At that point, the military says to itself, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Our Skynet has become conscious, self-aware. We have to shut it off. But you see, that conscious robot, Skynet, which is on the internet, realizes that self-preservation is one of its key duties. It has to preserve itself. And to preserve itself, it has to stop humans from shutting it off. Because the humans want to shut it off. And the only way to shut it off is to shut off the humans. And that's exactly what Skynet does. Skynet initiates a nuclear war because it has control over our nuclear weapons. Now, the question is that possible? And the answer is, yes, indeed. It is surely possible. And that's why we have to have many, many fail-safe systems to make sure that our nuclear weapons don't fall into the wrong hands. For example, just recently, it was announced on the internet that some of our crews that handle Minuteman missiles use LSD. Now, think about that for a moment. These are the people who have the keys to the kingdom, the keys to our Minuteman nuclear arsenal. And some of them are so bored, because there's nothing to do down there in the middle of a silo, there's nothing to do out there except get high, and that's what they did. They get high on LSD. Well, when that hit the wire services, people went berserk. I mean, think about that for a moment. You don't need Arnold Schwarzenegger and Terminator robots to create a nuclear war. No, you just need some bored idiots who take LSD and have a trip and then set off World War III. Is that possible? And the answer is, it is certainly possible that that could happen. But you see, the Terminator series also asks other questions as well. First of all, time travel is an integral part of the movie because the robot is, of course, terrorizing the 20th century. But where does it come from? It comes from the future. And so that asks another question. Is time travel possible? And that's a whole nother question coming out of physics. And that is the question of whether or not we can bend time into a pretzel. The short answer is maybe. Stephen Hawking has written that, well, we can create wormholes to distant points in the galaxy. That might be possible, to go faster than the speed of light. But he was skeptical if a wormhole could take us to the past. Now, why is that? I'll answer that question after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135.
This is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Usually you can give us a call and your thoughts could be heard on national radio if you call 612-564-8135. But so many of you have emailed me and said that, well, you're kind of shy about having your voice heard on national radio, but you will email me a question. So in this hour, we're handling lots of questions that I get on email about science. And the last question I got that we talked about concerns the movies. What about the movie Terminator? Is that really preposterous or is that really possible? Well, first of all, Terminator deals with robots that take over because they hijack our nuclear weapon system because the internet becomes self-aware. Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. It's something to think about. Also, time travel is integral in this movie because a robot of the future terrorizes the present. And that robot of the future is, of course, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And the question is that possible? And the answer is, well, maybe. Stephen Hawking, my colleague, the late Stephen Hawking, believed that wormholes could exist, which take us to distant points in the galaxy. We could then travel faster than the speed of light. But, he said, he doubted that you could build a time machine that would take you to the past. Now, why is that? Because Hawking wrote in his paper that if a light beam were to enter the wormhole and go to the past, it would then emerge from the wormhole and perhaps re-enter the wormhole in the present and then go back into the past and perform a cycle, a circle, constantly going from the present to the past, present to the past, and the radiation would build up to the point where the time machine would explode. That's what he thought would be possible if you could build a time machine. It would blow itself apart, meaning that time travel is really not possible at all. Well, maybe, but I think there's a loophole. I think there's a loophole in that argument. Because in string theory, I personally believe that when you go back into the past, because string theory is quantum mechanical, all you do is you make the timeline split in half. So that in one universe, you went and became yourself of today. But in the other universe, you actually did alter your own history. You could commit suicide in the past. You could perform all sorts of experiments in the past to change the course of modern history in a parallel universe. And that's the key. The timeline splits in half, so that light does not go circular from the present to the past, until the time machine blows up. No, it only makes one pass because that light beam enters a parallel universe. Now, can we prove it? No, because nobody could create a wormhole at the present time. All I'm saying is I think there is a defect in Hawking's proof that time travel is not possible. Well, let's move on. I get another question about DNA and the genome. We get a lot of people now subscribing to the different consumer genomic surveys, allowing you to trace your lineage and find out who your DNA relatives are. But you may say to yourself, wait a minute. When the genome was finished years ago, there was a promise that it would cure lots of diseases. And is that all we're getting? All we're getting is that we have things like 23andMe and Ancestry.com. Is that the benefit of the Genome Project? I mean, was it overblown? Well, to some degree, it was overblown. Because you see, the Genome Project, all it did was give us the sequence of letters of all your genes. But it didn't explain what these genes do. And that's the key. Think of a dictionary. A dictionary where all the words are spelled correctly, down to the very last letter, but all the definitions are missing. If you have a dictionary with missing definitions, the dictionary is useless. Yes, indeed, every single word has the correct spelling. And that's what the human genome did. The human genome gave us a dictionary of all the 20,000 or so genes that create the human body, but it gave us no understanding of what these genes do. And that's why, in some sense, the hype around the Human Genome Project was, in fact, it was overblown to a degree. That's why we do have things like 23andMe and Ancestry.com, and yes, they're great. Many of my friends have subscribed to these services and found out about missing relatives and things like that. Yes, I think that's great. But has it cured lots of diseases? And the answer is no. Because we don't know what many of these genes actually do. So then you may say to yourself, well, how do we experiment to find out what a gene can do? Well, of course, the Human Genome Project found hundreds, thousands of genes that we never suspected existed at all. We know how to spell them. We know the exact spelling of all these genes, but we don't know what to do. So what do? We allow our laboratories to insert that gene into a mouse. That gene that we don't know what it does is inserted into a mouse, and then we look for defects. Defects in what happens when the mouse reaches maturity. Then we infer what that gene did. Now you may say to yourself, now wait a minute. It takes years for mice to mature. This is a painful, painstaking process. There are thousands of genes that make up the genome of a mouse, and you're telling me that we have to, quote, knock out these genes one by one to find out what these genes do? And their answer is, yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why the Genome Project has not yet given us a cure for all the diseases. But one day, it might, but not today. Okay, well, unfortunately, that's it for Science Fantastic. Once again, every week, you can call 612-564-8135 and get on the show. Every week, you can see what's happening at the cutting edge of science on Science Fantastic. So give us a call or send us email. The number to call is 612-564-8135.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.